Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 22. The Reverend Sean Denzer is preaching. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Acts, the 9th chapter. But Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked for him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any belonging to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he went on his way, he approached Damascus, and suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. And falling to the ground, he heard a voice saying to him, "Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me?" And he said, "Who are you, Lord?" And he said, "I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But rise and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do." The men who were traveling with him stood speechless, hearing the voice, but seeing no one. Saul rose from the ground, and although his eyes were opened, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus, and for 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. Now there was a disciple at Damascus named Ananias. The Lord said to him in a vision, "Ananias," and he said, "Here I am, Lord." And the Lord said to him, "Rise and go to the street called Straight, and at the house of Judas look for a man of Tarsus named Saul, for behold, he is praying, and he has seen in a vision a man named Ananias come in and lay his hands on him so that he might regain his sight." But Ananias answered, "Lord, I have heard from many about this man, how much evil he has done to your saints at Jerusalem. And here he has authority from the chief priest to bind all who call on your name." But the Lord said to him, "Go, for he is a chosen instrument of mine to carry my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel. For I will show him how much he must suffer for the sake of my name." So Ananias departed and entered the house. And laying his hands on him, he said, "Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you came, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit." And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and he regained his sight. Then he rose and was baptized, and taking food, he was strengthened. For some days he was with the disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogue, saying, "He is the Son of God." And all who heard him were amazed and said, "Is not this the man who made havoc in Jerusalem of those who called upon his name? And has he not come here for this purpose, to bring them bound before the chief priests?" But Saul increased all the more in strength and confounded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Today we celebrate the feast and the faith of St. Paul. We hear the dramatic story of his coming to faith on the road to Damascus. He is converted, we say, which means more than simply changed or adapted. He is turned entirely around. From a rival, Christ turns him and gains a friend. From an enemy of his grace, Christ gains a vessel of it. Paul goes to Damascus to bind the saints in chains. Instead, he leaves bound to Christ as one of them. Seeing, he was blind to the truth. Blinded by Christ's light on the road, he now sees clearly and goes forth to bear that light to the Gentiles. The proud are laid low in today's reading. And this is an idea that everyone can get behind. Our cynical age loves to see the big guy made small, loves to see the wise and proud made foolish, loves to see the perpetual winners lose. To a certain extent, we also like to see the underdog win and the lowly raised up to the top, but we do not want them to be the same person. Surely the Nazis don't get to be redeemed or forgiven. Redemption story doesn't mean what it used to, much like the word convert, because Paul was not ported over from one religion to another here. Rather, as the Lord Jesus says, I will show him how much he must suffer for my name. And yet, to the astonishment of Ananias and to us, the murderous Saul actually is to be forgiven. And even then to become the greatest apostle, at least by the measurement of his accomplishments and his writings in the New Testament. Now, it's often observed that Paul's conversion should not be a model for our own. The Lord Jesus doesn't very often come in visions, at least we are not told to expect him to speak to us in this way. Our experience says that we are the kinds of people who must be rocked back and forth a few times before we will topple. Nothing strikes us like a bolt of lightning from heaven so that we pull a 180 in the course of a single week like St. Paul did. The Scriptures teach us, however, that what is going on within us by the Word of God is always more dramatic than we see it with our eyes. Paul himself was at pains to show that all of us were conceived and born enemies of God, as well as he was, dead in trespasses and sins. We are not rehabilitated into Christianity. We are brought to new life by the breath of God's Word and Spirit, just like Adam's dust was. We are wrenched from enemies of God to become instead his friends, not on our own initiative, but by his intervention. Every conversion, if we dare to use that word, every baptism, every long, slow, patient, considered change of mind really is a miracle of the first order. They are all workings of the Holy Spirit to convict and to convince us, yes, to conquer us. And yet to do it in that baffling way of mercy that claims us and instead of destroying us, puts us to good use, we who once were fully driving furiously in the opposite direction. Now, Georg Fabritius' wonderful Latin hymn for this day, the one that I sang a moment ago, draws this lesson also from St. Paul today, that from him we should learn why and how to pray for our enemies. Paul himself seems to have learned this because he bids us to pray for kings and people in high positions, to pray for the sort of people who at that very moment were doing to him what he had once, before Acts chapter 9, done also to the saints. He says to pray for those in high, powerful positions is good and is pleasing in the sight of God our Savior, who desires all to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. That is true even of those who are enemies toward St. Paul, toward the church. For there is one God and there is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all, which is the testimony given at the proper time. For this I was appointed a preacher and an apostle. Paul says, I'm telling the truth, I am not lying, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and truth. No enemy opposes the church, Christ's holy ones, without opposing Christ himself. We see this as Paul learned it terrifically on the road, that it was the Lord himself, it was Christ Jesus, whom he had been persecuting. In the face of our risen and ascended Lord, no foe can stand. The most bloodthirsty men, the subtlest or craftiest or most arrogant who war against God's will come to nothing. Well, but not quite. Not quite nothing. In fact, our Lord Jesus Christ is able and is willing to bring his enemies to something. He desires all to be saved, and he gave himself as a ransom for all, while we also were yet sinners. Christ died for us. He knows our names. He wrote them into his book with the ink of his son's own blood, which redeems and wins redemption for the most heinous of sinners. And that's no lie. So then, if any of you are troubled by the enemies of the church, then pray like Paul. Pray like Paul, who learned from blessed Stephen as he died, who himself learned from our Lord Jesus Christ as he died, that this Lord of ours is not only able, but he wills to deliver his victory blow through a true redemption story, that it is his gracious will to forgive and even to turn 180 degrees for his good sinners. Or, as Fabricius would have us sing, O Christ, call down from heaven and win for thee true friends from every enemy. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for the Reverend Arthur and Deaconess Eva Rickman, who serve the Lord in Panama. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.